Used for church, children's church. God is all of our Heavenly Father, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I believe in God. I try to love Him as He loves me. But sometimes I have a problem rationalizing what He might want me to do. I don't know if you have that kind of a situation, but I do. It's at times like that that I wonder what's really happening to my world. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and he said some pretty wise things in his writings. In the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses said something that I have to go back from time to time just to get my bearings. I have it underlined in my Bible, and I'd like to share the verses with you. One verse in particular is the first verse. It's Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. And that verse says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient to his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." We do have a heavenly Father in heaven. We've come a long way from these verses that Moses wrote. Much has happened during this time until now. There have been kings such as David and David's son Solomon, the wisest man in the world. He didn't end up his life wise. He wound up with 700 wives. And that's not smart at all, okay? But that was Solomon. He wasn't too bright in his old age. Then there was a cross. And that really changed things for many of us. That cross was God buying us back from our sin. God has told us in his word that if we will confess Jesus with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God, Jesus was the Son of God and that he rose from the dead, that we would be saved. That's in Romans 10, verse 9. I'd like for us to go back to the Old Testament this morning and see if the truth that has been from near the beginning of God's relationship to man is still truth. I wonder if it's still true today. And I want us to understand, and excuse me, my voice, I think the squirrels have been raiding our bird feeder have given me something. (Clears throat) But I'd like us to go back this morning and see if the truth is still the truth. We'll be looking at seeking the Lord with all of our heart and soul. We'll start with the heart. What does the Bible mean by a man's heart? I'm going to start with the first mention of the heart in Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. It was before the flood. God saw what man was becoming. And he refers to this as his heart. He's not talking about the organ that's pumping blood through your body. He's talking about the personality. What makes you, you, different from everybody else? That is the heart we're talking about. Every imagination. God didn't think too much about man's heart. The thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And God decided to make things over. So he brought the flood upon the world, and he saved Noah and his family. Even after the flood, things were not different. The thoughts of the heart were still evil. But little by little, God began to change the heart. He began to change your heart. He began to change my heart. Psalm 19:8 tells us, Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know, we all like to think that we're good people. But after David wrote this psalm, stating that the statutes of the Lord rejoice the heart, Jeremiah had something to write about the heart. And in Jeremiah 17:9, we're told about the heart. The heart, according to Jeremiah, is deceitfully wicked above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, God made us. He made us in his own image. And when he made us, he made everything good. Because that tells us in the early part of Genesis that after he made the things each day, he saw what he had made and it was good. And the sixth day, he says it was very good. What happened to our hearts? Now, like I said, we're not talking about the organ pumping blood through our bodies. In the Bible, the heart and the soul are the same. The heart and the soul are the same. Your heart and your soul are the same. What happened to the soul of man to cause it to become wicked? Well, Eve sinned when she was tempted by the devil. And then she tempted Adam, and he succumbed. And suddenly, because they had gone against God's will, the heart was evil. We've been dealing with wicked hearts ever since that day, very beginning. Our hearts have gotten more and more burdened every day because of our sin. until we came to the place where we called out to God to forgive us. We called out to Jesus to take away our sin and to come into our hearts and change our hearts. And people, he did. He changed everyone's heart who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. If you've called out to God, you said, I need help. I'm a sinner. I want to get rid of my sin. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to cover my sin. Take it away. If you've called out to God like that and you believed in your heart, not this organ, but who you are, that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that thou shalt be saved. And God will not refuse salvation to anyone who comes to him asking for it. So if you have asked God for salvation, it's yours, if you will believe. God placed someone in your life to tell you about who Jesus is and what he did for you. And because of that person, I don't know who that was. I know who it was for me. It was a pastor in Michigan who told me about Jesus Christ and what he could do for my heart, how he could change me. He told me that, and on November 5th of 1961, I put my faith in Jesus Christ to take away my sin, and I was changed. There was a day that you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you were changed. And if you have not done that, today would be a beautiful day to do it. Today would be a fantastic day to do it. My soul was made alive again. It was dead in sin. We are told in Jeremiah, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. My soul was dead in sin. But that day, November 5th, 1961, my soul was reborn. Now, I didn't understand all the things that were taking place in my life and in my heart. But I know that things were changing. And I wasn't perfect, and I'm still not perfect. Neither are you. But your heart is different if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your heart has been born again. And you are alive inside. There's more to it than just reading about it in the Word or the 10th chapter of Romans. Let me read those two verses. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Very important verses, folks, and listen. These verses are the truth. These verses are how God wants to establish a relationship between you and him. And he gave us this in his word so we could read it, so we could understand it, so we could do it. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart or soul that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart or soul man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The heart becomes righteous at the moment of salvation, and from then on, it belongs to Jesus Christ. This is the part that we need to spend time thinking about. Our heart doesn't have to seek God anymore. It's already found him. We belong to him. And he owns us. I think that the problem that I have is that there are times when I steal my heart back from God and get involved in some kind of sin because I'm no longer walking close to the Lord. That's a problem in your life. I understand. One moment I'm walking with the Lord, and the next I'm doing what I want to do. Now, there's something that God said to make us aware of the fact that there is a difference between us and God, and it's a tremendous difference. It's a difference we cannot comprehend nor understand. In Isaiah chapter 55, God makes a statement that separates you from him. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." People, we can't think like God. We don't understand. But we have this promise from God, this statement from God. I want my heart to be pure, pure for God. The problem that I have is I can't seem to stay focused on things of the Lord because I live in this world and so do you. And living in this world, there are distractions to get your mind off from our Heavenly Father. This is Father's Day. We need to honor him. You and I both live in this world. We can't separate ourselves from it. We try, but we cannot separate. Some things we can separate ourselves from. But the Apostle John told us something that is very truthful and something that not to be used as an excuse, but something that is a reason for any difficulties that you might be having. Look at 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2. Verses 15 through 17. We've been studying 1 John. We're going to continue our study of 1 John. It'll be on Sunday nights. There'll be no service tonight because we want you to visit your fathers or whatever you do on Father's Day. But we'll resume our study of 1 John next Sunday night. We're in chapter 3, going into chapter 4 right now. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." People, you have a place with God. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior now, this day, you have a home with God guaranteed. Now, I know what the Bible says about the world. My problem is that in spite of what I know, and I can even quote it, I do what I know not to do. Paul had the same problem. This is not unusual. It's not unusual for you to be struggling. I think Paul was probably the greatest apostle who ever lived. God called him to be an apostle. Peter chose Matthias and all the disciples to begin with. They're around Pentecost. But God called a separate disciple, one that he wanted, and that was the Apostle Paul. A disciple was someone who had been with Christ for the 3 years of his ministry. You say, well, Paul wasn't with Christ. He was a Jewish Pharisee. Paul spent 3 years with Christ in the desert, in the Arabian desert, after he was converted at Damascus. He qualified. He met all the qualifications. God called him to be a disciple. And so Paul had the same problems you and I have. He wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Every time I read this, I say, oh. Listen to what Paul says. Romans 7, 15 through 25. For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Sound familiar to anybody? Verse 20. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul calls out, and folks, you can call out this very same verse, verse 24. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. With Paul's heart, he was serving God. With Paul's soul, he was serving God. But his body has its own appetites. His body was not doing what he wanted it to do most of the time. Now, Paul's not giving us an excuse to sin, but he is giving us a reason that we sin, and it's not an excuse. We must remember that we are looking for a way to seek God with all of our heart and our soul. There's a difference between the heart and soul. I said it was one and the same. But God makes a difference. Let me show you why I say there's a difference. I don't always understand all of the Bible, and you may not either. But I accept what God says. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he makes a statement. I don't understand it. I will tell you that right on the front end. But it's true because it's in the Bible. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. People, he's talking about this book you have in your lap. He's saying that it is sharper than any kind of device you may ever thought of. It's able to divide apart the soul and the spirit. So let's look at this verse a little bit closer and see if we can find some answers to our query. We're being told that God's word is sharp and able to divide spiritual matters, such as the spirit and the soul. So we know there's a difference between the two. The spirit and the soul are two different things. If we continue to dissect this verse, we get into the physical realm of things, the joints and the marrow found in the bones. We don't want to get physical, so let's keep up the spiritual side. Staying in the spiritual realm, we proceed to the motivation of our actions. And that is where we find the word is able to determine the difference between our thoughts and our intentions. This is really what Paul was talking about in the 7th chapter of Romans. Our intents might be perfectly all right, but somewhere between our intention to do a thing and the actual doing of it, our thought life gets into trouble. Intention is great if it's godly, but it never gets carried out. If it never gets carried out, it's meaningless. I can intend to do something really meaningful for all of you. And that would be of great benefit to you and to your family. But if it never gets done, what good is it? What benefit is it to you? We're one person. You're one person. But we also have two sources of our motivation. Two sources. One source is good, and one is bad. Wait a minute, you say. I don't have a bad bone in my body. That's not the bones we're concerned about. It's the motivation of your heart. What is influencing our heart to do the things that we do? Let's look at a scripture that we've already looked at. 1 John 2:15-16. John's telling us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There are some things in the world that you and I are not supposed to be involved in? Where do these things come from? Some people will tell us that they come from the devil. Lip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." Sometimes, folks, that's just an excuse. Our body wants to do it, because our body has not yet been redeemed. Our soul's been redeemed. Jesus Christ died for our souls. The body will be redeemed at the rapture. Until then, you have a sinful body. You have a body that has appetites. You have a body that wants to do things that you should not be doing. But that will change when Christ comes back for his church. Now, the pride of life comes from our life. These things all come from us. The devil just uses them to tempt us. He tempted Jesus with all three of these things: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. He tempted Jesus with all three of those things, and Jesus did not sin. That means we don't have to sin. We sin because we want to. As long as we succumb to those temptations, we're not going to be able to seek the things of God with all of our heart and soul. But we know that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So we can call on God to help us, and he will. We're told in the Bible that God loves us. And we believe what the Bible says about God loving us because we see his love poured into our lives in so many different places. Question is, do we love God like God loves us? Love is fickle. Some days you love a person, some days you're not real happy with them. Emotion is fickle. There's times when our love for someone in this world is greater than our love for God. Normal, natural. That's the time when you and I seem to go astray. A love relationship occupies the heart and the soul. If we can keep our hearts focused on God and what he is doing in the lives of the people around us, then we will be able to serve him according to his will. There are times when we get sidetracked and we start to love the world. John tells us very clearly not to love the world, because when we do, the love of the Father is not in us. Today, on Father's Day, let's love God. Let's love our Heavenly Father more than anyone else in this world. And let's make this Father's Day a day that we will remember, as well as a day that God will be very happy with. Don't let the devil deceive you. Father, We come before you this morning, and we are celebrating Father's Day here on this earth, here in this country, because we love our fathers. And Father, we want to love you. We want to serve you. We want to be what you want us to be. So Father, strengthen us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to rely on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away our sin. And Father, use us to accomplish your will, and we will praise you because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.